Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur Podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Monday, the 6th of September, 2021. I am Steve in the RC in Essex, and on today's brand new season of the Hotspurs podcast, if I can just say it properly, Mr. Colin McKee. How are you doing, Carl?
Yes, I'm doing well, mate. I'm doing really well.
You've had a beer. I normally have a beer to do this. I've not had a beer because new school started, and I want to be fresh as a daisy.
You have to behave yourself, mate.
Slurring and everything. So, summer's gone. How'd you get on? Good summer?
Yeah, good summer. Just busy with work. Unfortunately, no holiday this year with our lovely COVID pandemic that we're still in.
Yeah.
But hopefully next year. Hopefully next year, get away.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't done any shows. Me and Doogie had a brilliant summer in La Manga. Sunbeds next to each other. Guess what we talked about the entire time? you, Cole. So that was great. I've got a brilliant story about Charlie Nicholas that I can share with you. But we just chatted, didn't we, over sort of text messages and WhatsApps, and just sort of said, you know, should we do a pod? And trouble is, all the other ones are so blimmin' good. And they sort of cover everything you want to, you're saying. You're just about to record one, and then you listen to Last Word on Spurs, and they've basically talked about everything you wanted to say. So, you know, and all the different guests they've got on there. So big up to the boys over there. Their shows are getting better and better every listen, actually. Really good stuff, and Fighting Cock is brilliant with all their, banter and all the rest of it. To go and listen to those, and also you've got the other ones, Come On You Spurs, and listen to them all. Cheese Room, VAR Side, brilliant stuff. You don't listen to any of them though, Cole, do you?
No, don't be bothered. No, I'm only joking. Yeah, listen to quite a few, but obviously listening when our good friend Jason's on Last Word and Spurs, I like to listen to Jason.
He's brilliant, isn't he? He's so good. I agree with 90% of what he says. But some of the stuff, I'm like, hang on a minute. Like, you know, recently he's banging on about this Farmers League, Europa Conference Farmers League. I remember tweeting back about five, well, before we got in the Champions League, about Europa, back and forth, back. We've got to be in Europe. And me going, look, it's rubbish. What's the reward? This is before you could get in the Champions, you know, if you won it. Okay, you won the Europa Cup, but you didn't get into the Champions League for it. And quite frankly, you get ridiculed because all the other big teams were in Champions League. Well, since then, they've changed it so that if you win the Europa League, you get in the Champions League. But also, lots of the other big teams have won it or have got into the finals. So, you know, it's kind of made it more prestigious. And now we're in this conference. All of a sudden, we don't want to win that. He's got a point, though. Do you want to win that Conference League, Carl?
Yeah, of course I do.
Of course you do.
Yeah. We need a trophy. Right. We need a trophy. Right. No, it's a bit hard. Funny, I sat in work that day and I got the live stream for the Champions League draw, and then the next one was Europa League draw, and then it was the conference draw. You know, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and when I seen the list of teams, I actually couldn't believe it. You know, that at first, whenever I heard about the Conference League, I thought it was like a mini league to get into the Europa League. That's the way I thought it sort of worked, but it isn't. But look, it is what it is. And the way I looked at it was, do you know what? Let's just go and win it. Let's just go.
Well,
and
look, the positives, Cole, everybody knows about. Everybody knows. You play youngsters, get Dane Scarlett involved and all the rest of it. And the negatives are that, you've got to schlep all around Europe and got to go far-flung places and all this sort of stuff. And that is where I am with it in terms of, look, if we're playing Chelsea, aren't we? And that, no, I think it's Chelsea, Wolves in the League Cup, and then Arsenal. Yeah. You know, in my opinion, Arsenal obviously is the biggest game, but we've got to win that League Cup game, because to me, the League Cup is, you know, bragging rights. Conference League, you don't get any bragging rights. Yeah, let's make no bones about it. You can't go up to a Chelsea fan at the end of this season and say we've won a cup if they don't win anything, because it is Conference League. And also, how about this? Why don't they just put the winner of the Conference League into the Champions League? What an incentive that would be, rather than make it sort of a competition of ridicule. Anyway, so you want to do that. But to me, at the moment, yeah, we want to win it. But honestly, Cole, if we get through to next April and we've got a chance to get into that top four, back in the Champions League, and we know what that's all about. We know the arguments back and forth. It's not a trophy, we know that, but players want to stay if you're in the Champions League, attract more players. So we know the arguments for it. If we're playing, I don't know, whoever it is on the Sunday, and we're playing a semi-final of a Conference League, you know, and it's a big game against Liverpool or something, and we need those points. Cole, I've got to say top four over Conference League. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, look, I agree. I think, look, it will be a breeding ground for a lot of the youngsters, a lot of these guys that are probably going to be fringe players. You know, and we can already see Ndombele, you know, has been put into that group there today. You know, that's something, you know, where he's going to probably play and get his minutes, maybe the Harry Winks, Matt Doherty's, those sort of guys. So, you know, look, I think we're still a strong enough squad to go the whole way. And I don't think if we're in contention for a League Cup or an FA Cup or a top four finish that Nuno will, risk anything in the semi-final of a Conference League. Yeah. You know, looking at the teams in it, our second string 11 should be more than enough to win it, bar our good friend Jose Mourinho's Roma, which is probably guaranteed, and it's written all over that we're going to get them at some stage, you know, quarterfinal, semi-final or final, you know. So, I think we've got more than enough. But look, I do also believe, depending on how we're going in the league, if we get to a semi-final, quarterfinal, that if needed, he will play some of the big guns. And yeah. I think, like, let's worry about it whenever it comes around. But it is what it is. And it's just quite a sad-looking tournament at the minute when you look at the teams. You know, that are in it. And the only good thing I thought of it, obviously I'm from Northern Ireland, we have a lot of good Irish League teams here, and you know, I would like to see maybe a couple of our teams get through, but unfortunately there was a team over here called Larne. They actually had drawn the team that Spurs beat in the last round.
Yeah.
And if they had have won, Spurs would have been playing here, which is 9 miles down the road from my house.
And I
know guys down there, so I was praying that Lauren would have beat that Portuguese team, but I think they got beat 5-1 on aggregate by them. So
yeah,
that would have been amazing to have Spurs coming over here, because it's been such a long time, you know, since Spurs. And, you know, a lot of us Irish, you know, fans over here, we're sort of, you know, as you know, there's a massive support north and south for Spurs, and you sort of looked at it in these COVID times, what an opportunity for Spurs to bring Tottenham over here to play a local side. You know, to give us fans that spend a lot of money flying over and going to games, you know, to give us a taste. But I couldn't tell you the last time they were here, so it's quite disappointing that they haven't looked at that end of things either. But it is what it is.
Shamrock Rovers when 1-0, I think Teddy Sheringham scored.
The play here.
People will be screaming that Klinsmann scored, but I don't think he did. I think it was Teddy Sheringham.
Yeah, I can't really remember, to be honest with you. But like, you know, the Conference League is what it is, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think we played Shamrock again, didn't we? And didn't Giovanni Dos Santos score a hat trick or something?
I think you're right, actually.
Did Harry Redknapp, yeah.
You're the man with the knowledge.
Then Harry Redknapp always said about Giovanni Dos Santos, if he stuck going to Barcelona and clubbing, then he might be a half-decent footballer.
I know.
So hot topics at the moment, obviously the Kane situation. Look, you know, Carl, I've said this before on Twitter and everything. You know, when the story broke all over Sky, Kane has told Levy he wants to leave, you know, and it was all speculation based on the interview he'd done with Gary Neville. My insider knowledge is that the minute that went out, Daniel Levy immediately shut up shop and just said, right, well, you've blown it, sort of thing. You know, he's such a I don't know what the word is, but you know, I was delighted that we had Levy. You know, as much as 20 years of failure and all the rest of it. The fact is that in this particular Harry Kane deal, you just knew that he was not at any moment going to have any sentiment towards Harry Kane whatsoever, because he'd been submarined by that interview, made us look embarrassing. And, you know, without naming names, the person that set up that interview basically blew it for him. Whereas if he'd have kept shtum, been uber professional, then, you know, these things can materialize because things can be done behind closed doors, deals can be done. But the minute it's out in the public, you almost think that Levy just goes, I'm not going to be made a mug of. So you can shove your trophies, you're staying at Spurs. And I never saw the deal coming off. I never saw it. You know, I joked about Jace McGovern a month ago, who was saying on his podcast that he expects an offer to come in, and that was the only way. That was the only difference between me and him, was the fact that I couldn't see, as much as Levy being stubborn, I also couldn't see not the Sheikh at City. I could see Pep Guardiola being stubborn. Even though it's not his money, I could see him going, no, don't pay over the odds. I'm a good manager, coach, to manage my players. Don't pay over the odds. I could almost see that happening, Cole. What do you think?
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. I was convinced that he was going. I really was. And even up until he announced himself on Twitter, you know, that he was staying, then it was the only time I sort of believed that. I really did think something would have happened. But look, to cut a major long story short, I'm delighted that he stayed. I think he has probably damaged, you know, a small bit of his reputation with the fans. Just by the way it was handled, the Gary Neville interview did not go down well with anybody. And it was quite sad to watch and unfold, you know, on TV, watching the Sky interviews and things that were going through. But, you know, deep down, I think 95-97% of us are absolutely buzzing that he's still at the club. Now, obviously, there's talk that there's probably another deal going to be agreed and there will be a breakout. 100% there'll be a breakout clause put in it. I think the good thing for us is we've got him for, I would say, at least another year. I can't see him going in January. And, you know, what we'll do then is maybe start to look at where we're going to spend that money. Say the breakout's probably going to be about £100 million. Pounds, you know, and then that's where we can look at, you know, getting reinforcements in. But, you know, it was just a sad situation, wasn't it, to see someone that we've all backed from a guy that came on the pitch, if you can remember, when he made his debut, and things where we were all going like, who is this guy? we weren't that worried. Yeah, you know, we weren't that worried about him.
I famously said he's nothing special. What did I say? I said something. It was when he scored against Villa and everyone was raving about him. And I said, what did I say, Carl?
I can't remember.
Something like, he's nothing special. He's bang average. No, that's it. I said, he's bang average. This boy is bang average. You know, just one final thing on that. Obviously, the strange opinions that people have. Oh, Spurs have blown it now. Their assets going to go down. They won't be able to get the money for him when they want to sell him next year. We don't want to sell him. He's not for sale. He's not an asset. He's a football player, and he's the best player at our club. And if he stays at our club for the next 3 or 4 years, he'll go down as the greatest ever player, because his stats will show he's got the most goals ever, you know, assists and all the rest of it. And you don't judge individual players on trophies. You know, some people do. Some people judge, you know, individual players on trophies. You know, how many leagues has... all those Man United players got, your O'Haras and your Evanses and all those sort of people, you know, they've got loads of who's the guy? Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, all those guys, they've all got loads of league medals. But they, all this thing about, oh, you sit down with your grandkids and what you're going to tell them. Cole, my granddad never won a league cup, Still love him, though.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And as you say, the guy will go down in our history, you know, no matter what, whether he leaves or not within the next year or so. But, you know, I think, I don't know. We just have to wait and see. But look, let's hopefully just enjoy the guy. Do you know one thing I'll say about him?
Go on.
And I know it was only the Conference League game. And because who was our last game there? Watford?
Yeah.
He was okay. The Conference League game, I thought he looked very relaxed. I thought he looked, you know, as if he had sort of got that weight off his shoulders. Mm. And I know he wasn't playing against much, but I thought he looked good. I would have put my house on him to have scored against Watford. I really would have, but it was quite a strange game. The Watford game, there wasn't a lot of chances created for him, you know.
There was a chance where, I think in the second half, and it was blocked on the line.
Yeah, it sort of stumbled through the guy's legs. Yeah.
But you know what, for that game, we've been criticised for the 3-1. You know, if you're going to pick anything out about our start to the season, it's 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. You know, really good podcasters and really good journalists have said, you know, they're a bit disappointed that it's Jose Mourinho, and if it carries on this way, they won't be happy. And Carl, this is a million miles away from Jose football. Million miles. The results, yes. But, oh my goodness. You know, Dele Alli scores that goal, which he missed, which was a terrible miss, actually. Scores that goal. That's 1-0 at home to City. 1-0 away to Wolves. And then a 2-0 win at home. And I know it's ifs and buts, but that's why we have conversations. No problem at all with saying ifs and buts. You're having a conversation. But because Dele Alli missed the goal by 6 inches, oh, it's 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. It's still Jose football. If it carries on like this, you know, I won't be happy. I'll pay my money to watch goals. It's completely different. You know, they said before Jose came that he's going to leave and we'll be broken as a club. It kind of is, and we're trying to get it repaired. What do you think, Carl?
Yeah, I agree with you. No, look, you know, it's definitely not Jose Mourinho football. What I have liked about Nuno, you know, since he came out, I like him on the sideline. You know, he's on the edge of his technical area the whole game. Where that's, if you remember back to previous pods when we got Jose, and me and you wanted Jose. Yeah, you know, we were expecting the Jose Mourinho to be back on the line. I know there was the odd outburst where he sprinted at the referee and the fourth official and ran up and down the touchline. But if you think about it, really, he sat in that seat the majority of every game that we played. Yeah. Where Nuno's on the edge, he seems to be directing, you know, what he wants done. And I liked his last interview as well, where he turned around quite honestly and says, no, I'm not happy with how we're playing, and we have still quite a way to go to implement his style. Because, you know, funny, I watched back after we appointed him a couple of Wolves games against Spurs and things. And, you know, Wolves, and if you look at them even this season, they must be the most unluckiest team not to score the goal and have a point at the minute. You know, they're playing some really good stuff, nice style of football. And I think it's just going to take a bit of time. And I think that's why in the transfer window, I was slightly disappointed about it. I give it a 6 to 7 out of 10. I just think we still lacked getting in those couple of players, those, you know, to replace that Christian Eriksen sort of player in the midfield, and just a bit more creative.
Would you have had Traore?
Yeah, 100%. Yes, I got a bit of stick online. But I was really pushing for him. 100%. People were going, I wouldn't pay 50 million. Here, it's not our money. If he's worth 50 million and Nuno wants him, go and get him. I think that guy would have been exceptional for us. Mm. I really do. And I said to someone as well, I don't know whether I tweeted it out, you know, he's the kind of player that's going to get you off your seat.
Yeah,
and as us Spurs fans over the years, you know, we got our, I'm not saying Traore's like a Ginola, but you know, we always had that one player which when you went to the stadium, you couldn't wait, and Ginola would have done things and you were buzzing. And
can you imagine, you know, him running at the Arsenal players in a couple of weeks' time?
100%.
Scaring them at the Emirates.
Look, he scared the life out of me for about 65 minutes. Yeah. When we played them a few weeks ago, every time he got the ball, I was going, oh no. And people say about his end product, yes, there's a lot of times it's been poor. But if you watch that Man United game, he created four top chances for their strikers. And it wasn't his fault they didn't put them away.
You know, people talk about his end product, but he's only got end product because he gets to that end product. So many players, Cole, get the ball, run with it, and then want to beat the man again or turn back inside or come back again. Or, name me a player that's got brilliant end product at Spurs.
Exactly.
I think they all muck up all the time, don't they? That's why we are where we are.
Yeah.
Because they can't pass that final ball.
Did you want them? Did you want them?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I think he's honestly better than Steven Bergwijn. I think he's probably better than Lucas Moura. And I think with him, Son and Kane, it would have been fantastic. Like I say, Cole, it's not about players, I don't mind keeping or whatever. Get these players in, they're good play. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Sell him again in a year or 18 months. Don't have to stick with them. But I'd like to see him in a Spurs shirt, you know, with those big old muscles, Cole.
That's what I kept tweeting out. Get this man oiled up. Get him oiled up. And get him. Could you imagine?
Just bring him in for that Arsenal game. Just play him in that Arsenal game, running at those defenders. And then don't play him again. Just, because he did. Cole, you're right. When he got on the ball, he did threaten us. And, people say it's only against Spurs he does it. No, he did it against Man United. Now, I know they didn't win the game, but again, that's because of the entire football match. And by the way, Man United were blimmin' lucky in that game.
100%. That was my thing. And do you know what? It really started to frustrate me on Twitter. You know, how many people were so against this guy. And I just couldn't see it. And I was going, you imagine sitting there, you've paid your £60 or your £75 for your ticket. And you're sitting there, and as you say, against Arsenal or with Chelsea coming up, and Traore's warming up, he's getting the oil arms and the legs oiled up on the sideline. And you're going to go, do you know what? Every time this guy gets the ball, we are going to be off our seats going, what's he going to do? And look, as I said to someone as well, more than likely we're going to finish sixth or seventh this year, being honest about it.
Yeah.
Hopefully fight for the top four, but realistically,
That's what your pal Mark Nelson reckons.
Oh, yes, Mark, that's right. Yes, well, Mark's been one that's been having a go about him. But as I think I said it to Mark, he gets us off our seat. Let's enjoy it. Let's have some excitement in our team. Yeah. We're probably not going to win anything, but I prefer to have a player like that to sit and watch than sit and watch Stevie Bergwijn maybe do it once every six games.
Yeah, work hard. Oh, well done. You've worked hard. Yeah. And now let's have somebody that can actually create something. 100%. By the way, on that working hard, I think Holbier's looked fantastic, and Skip's has looked good as well. And I just think that while it's 1-0s, we're not sitting back. We aren't doing what we did with Jose, which would score a goal and then you'd sit back, clinging on for dear life. We haven't done that in any of the games, actually. I know Wolves probably looked the best out of the three teams we've played against, but there wasn't that backs against the wall, they're gonna score thing, was there? Against a lot of those teams in with Jose, I would go and do something else. I'd go to my boy and I'd say, well, they're gonna score in about 10 minutes or within the next 10 minutes. Call me when they do, because then we'll get back into the game. And I'd go and do a bit of gardening or something. It just absolutely, I wouldn't, because I watched the whole game. But that's what I felt like doing. Just because you knew it was coming. In those games, no, it was like, no, defend properly, and hats off to those guys. Me and you were never really calling for those defenders to go. Aurier, probably the only one that I'd say, definitely had to go. And that's not because of his athleticism or his, way he play attitude, and unfortunately we may have the same with Ndombele. Different attitude, but just the wrong mentality. I said on Twitter that I reckon in that first meeting with Nuno, I reckon he came in and spoke to everybody, and where everyone was sitting up, especially like Skip sitting up and listening, I reckon Ndombele Oria and Sissoko were at the back just laughing and giggling, like, you know, like a schoolboy's mucking around and flicking each other's sliders, and, you know, Nuno just got the hump with him. Just like, hopefully Ndombele comes back, you know. But Carl, we want Ndombele to do well, don't we?
Look, 100% we're doing. Look, I've tweeted out a few times there. You know, like, I'm just so fed up with the guy now. I really am. And, you know, I kept looking going, all the changes and the managers that we've had in since we got him, they all can't be wrong. You know, this is Nuno's a new manager coming in. And obviously something has been happening, or he's watched his attitude and training. And he's just went, this guy just is not interested. And it's so frustrating. And I think the Spurs fans have given him so many opportunities. We really have. And we've all been fighting his corner. We want him on. And we've seen flashes of brilliance from him. But, you know, for him not to have tried again with another new manager. Look, I hope the only good thing is that maybe with the Sissoko and the Aurier's gone now, you know, he doesn't have his what did they call it, the French mafia or something, his clique. The guy's going to have to maybe put himself about with the rest of the guys. Now, any clips you ever watch on YouTube or whatever of the training sessions, he seems to be having a laugh with everybody. Still got his woolly hat on, like, in about 30 degrees of heat. But, you know, I just don't know, Steve. I really don't know if we're going to ever get anything out of this guy. And look, by the looks of it, he's only going to play in the Conference League. You know, what's his body language and attitude going to be like? But it's so disappointing, because he's that one area that we lack, that creative player.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if we're going to get it, Steve. I really don't.
We need it in centre midfield. Yeah. And we, you know, like I say, when you're 1-0 up and we're doing all right, Skip and Holbier holding in there, no problem. You know, and there's nothing wrong, by the way. If when you go 1-0 up, you don't go gung-ho for the second. You do sit back. You do defend. But what we were doing under Jose was like, right, everyone back to the six-yard box, apart from Kane. And Kane or maybe Son, you stay up. But we'll all sit right back. And you know, soaking it up and hitting them on the break, which is, Nuno is doing. It's completely different the way we're watching this football. And I hope Ndombele does well. But like I say, you know, you're having your meeting on a Thursday. You're getting ready to pick the team. You've got Skip there, he's been brilliant at training all week. He listens. He does what you want him to do. You tell him to go and stand out there, he does it. You speak to Ndombele, you know, what's he? He's got the woolly hat. He's probably, you know, chewing gum. He's listening. He's looking. Nuno's going, I can't be doing with this guy. No matter how fit he is, because we saw some pictures of him looking a lot trimmer. You know, if he's got that attitude, I know that these maverick, and we love a maverick, don't we? You know, you watch all the big match and all that from the 70s and 80s, and they never listened to anything the manager told them anyway. But football,
but they're
these
performed.
Days,
they're performed.
Right? Yeah, your Frank Worthingtons and all these type of great
players. They turned up on a match day, Steve. That was the difference.
But I don't think they won very much, though, did they? And we want to win things now. We do want to push on. And guys like Oliver Skip probably win you trophies, because they just get stuck in. And they, you know, if you look back at these Chelsea sides and like I say, United sides, it was the Darren Fletchers. They were the guys that won you the trophies. I remember Darren Fletcher played 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was, against us. And he was absolutely phenomenal, absolutely brilliant. And I said to whoever I went with, that's what we need in our Spurs side. Forget, you know, for a minute, all these flair players. That's what we need. Someone just getting stuck in. Someone that Fergie just goes, right, run around, win the ball, give it to the creative players. And we've kind of got two of those now. But are going to need a bit of flair going forward.
Yeah, look, we're definitely doing it. And one thing, and I'll hold my hands up about Skip, you know, I honestly just thought he was just a bang average player every time I seen him. I know he went out and loaned to Norwich, done well. But I held my hands up there a lot of weeks ago after the first couple of games and said, you know what, I think I've got it wrong. But what I also like about him is I think he's also freed up Højbjerg. Because when I watched Højbjerg for Denmark in the Euros, he was outstanding. he was in the player, the top 11 for the tournament. He created goals. I think he had quite a few assists for Denmark. And I think, I don't know whether you've noticed it, but in our first three games, Højbjerg's definitely had a bit more of a license to get forward than what we would have seen under Mourinho. Like, if you think of the Wolves game, do you remember Højbjerg? He actually done the nutmeg on the edge of the box and, okay, had a bit of a toe-poke shot. We would never have seen him up there, and that was probably in about the 82nd, 83rd minute of the game.
I'm quite sure that Jose told him not to cross the halfway line.
Yeah, 100%. So games. I think that's where Skip gives us that wee bit. But yes, look, the creative midfielder, and that was one of my things about this guy, Patricia, or whatever you call him, the cook as I was calling him. I was starting to get really frustrated at the end, and everybody was going, oh, he's cooking. You know, especially with the Ndombele thing, that was crammed. You know, surely with that 4 or 5 days to go, there could have been a deal done somewhere. Look at Barcelona, they're falling apart. Coutinho sitting there. Mm. You know, could you not have went to Barcelona and said, look, you know what, let's just do a swap deal.
Yeah.
You know, or we'll give you Ndombele and 25 million for Coutinho. Yeah,
that makes
sense. A player that we needed. You know, the other frustration for me was this young lad, Pepe Sarr, that we've signed. Mm. He looks a player. Get him in now. Mm. Get him in now.
Yeah.
You know, but then maybe it was the only way to get him was to loan him back out. But
yeah,
I don't know. But I was so disappointed with the transfer window at the end, you know, sitting waiting just for that, you know, that fan de Vaart moment, you know, that Spurs have done a deal for Coutinho to come in or that type of a player. Mm. And just
it didn't happen.
And that's why I wanted Traore as well, you know, because I think Traore would have given a major lift round the club and a bit of flair.
The Levy loves a last minute deal. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't. I can't remember the last one he did. Dempsey, probably.
I know. I've actually, I used to love transfer deadline day because it was always Spurs.
He doesn't do them anymore. You know? So don't start, you know, you can't have a go at him for doing last minute deals.
When was the last one we done?
I think it was probably Dempsey 10 years ago, or whatever it was.
Yeah, probably was. Or Sissoko. Sissoko, I think, was the last one. Do you remember he was meant to be going to Everton?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it broke about 5 to 11 that he was actually going to Spurs.
Well, Dempsey was going to go to Liverpool, but he chose Spurs over Liverpool, if I remember rightly. That when Liverpool was up.
Back then, Liverpool were poor.
Yeah, but your pal Mark Nelson's right in a way. Look, you know, we'll see how we get on when we go 1-0 down or 2-0 down. Can we, have we got the creativity? Has Skip got it in him? You know, because if Skip starts passing it sideways and backwards and keep playing it safe when we're 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go, you know, we're going to do him like, you know, we're going to have a go like we do with Harry Winks. And then is Harry Winks now going to go, right, has the penny dropped with him? Because he looked good in that conference game. You know, he looked good in that. He thought, it's almost like, right, okay, I need to up my game here because I'm going nowhere in my career. What's he, 25, 26?
Yeah.
You know, and if he wants to just peter out his career and then finish up at Stoke or whatever, just playing it sideways, feel free. But he's got talent. He has got talent. We know that. Yeah. Davey Elder's asking about Kane. Is his reputation tarnished? The only thing I would say about that is I was sitting in the pub watching the England game the other day, and when he was missing all those chances, I was laughing. And people would sort of say to me, he's rubbish, he should have stuck that away, Ings would have stuck that away. I was agreeing with them. But without that, I normally agree, you know, through gritted teeth to avoid confrontation. But I was going, yeah, he's not that good. And laughing. I'm not defending him anymore. So that is one thing, you know.
I know. Funny, it was really, really funny watching the Euros. Obviously, I'm a Northern Ireland fan, but I follow England, I support England as well. And in the Euros, when Harry, first time I was going, I didn't care whether he scored or not, because I sort of felt, oh, he's leaving us, and I really didn't even want him to score a goal. strange the way you go.
Yeah, just anyone, little observation. Danny Murphy today saying that Lingard should leave Man United. He's amazed he didn't leave Man United. He's playing so well. And, you know, he's not going to get as many games for United, presumably. And he should just go and play his football. Well, Cole, what have we heard as Spurs fans for the last 3-4 months, if not 3 or 4 years. Trophies, trophies, trophies. And I tweet it and I do a joke about it every time. If a player doesn't sign for City or Chelsea and they sign for anybody else, then I'm joking, going, well, he's obviously got no ambition. He doesn't want to win trophies. And he's given up, because that's what Danny Murphy said about Son when he signed his new deal. And it's all gone, what, you know, you've got to win trophies. It's all about trophies. Well, my question simply to Danny Murphy would be, why would Lingard leave United when he's guaranteed to win trophies, or not guaranteed, but a very good chance, especially with Ronaldo, to go and play for West Ham when he's not going to win any trophies? Could it be Danny Murphy and everybody else on Sky and everybody else on Twitter and everybody else that supports these teams, that it's not just about winning trophies? It might actually be playing football. What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's where a lot of us guys were getting very frustrated with the media. You know, your Talk Sport, which I don't listen to now anymore. You know, your Sky Sports pundits, you know, going on and on about Kane having to leave to win trophies. And you're exactly right. There's probably, well, if you look over all the years of the Premier League, how many teams have actually won it? You know, there's not many teams you can choose from, you know, to actually go and guarantee to win a trophy. But you're right. But just you mentioning Jesse Lingard, there's a player we should have been all over. You know, I think this time, before he joined West Ham, if we had been linked with him, myself included, probably, oh, what do we want this guy for? All he does is dance and make funny videos, you know, on Instagram or whatever. But here, I tell you what, he lit West Ham up and got West Ham into Europe. And the guy's still sitting there, and you're sitting going, we needed that creative spark. And surely we could have went and got a Jesse Lingard. Surely we could have. Yeah. Because I don't think the guy's going to kick a ball. Don't think he'll kick a ball for Man United.
Well, I think he will. I think he will. I think they're planning lots of competitions. Ronaldo can't play every game, or can he? He's amazing the other night for Portugal, and he scored those two headers. But, you know, it's just these double standards. You know, one team, why would you sign for them? It's almost, Danny Murphy played for us. You know, so it's not like Jason Cundy saying, why on earth would you play for that lot? Well, we know why you think that way, because you're Chelsea through and through. You know, and you like winding people up. Danny Murphy's supposed to be, he's not a wind-up merchant. He's supposed to be a serious, you know, presenter. And yet, anyway, it does wind me up a little bit. And I was going to say, right, Cole, so I'll give you a scenario. So the boy, your boy is at Rangers. Yeah. Let's say, for example, he's got a cut of seasons there or whatever. I'll give you a scenario. He's 23, 24, maybe even 25, okay? And he he's not getting in the Rangers side. Let's put it that way. You know, he's playing the League Cup games. He's playing a bit in the Europa League or whatever. He's not really getting in the side. He's coming on 10 minutes to go when the main striker's injured or whatever. You know, and he says to you, Dad, I've had a phone call from Aberdeen. I can go. They haven't got a third in the league. So we won't win. You know, Aberdeen don't win anything. Well, they won't win cups, but it'll be all right. You know, they'll win the majority of games, but they're not Celtic and Rangers. But what would you advise? And he's 24 years old, 25 years old, or he can start Rangers, or he can go and play at Aberdeen. Is there a conversation to be had, or would you say, well, son, if you stay at Rangers, you'll come on, you'll play enough games, and you'll get a medal at the end of it. You'll get a trophy. You'll be there in the picture with all the squad. All right, you might have a suit on, but you'll be there in the trophy celebrations. What do you think, Carl?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And I think that's where, you know, you want to play, don't you? You want to play.
Well, I think you want to play, don't you? That's what the players always say.
Like, yeah, Robbie
Keane left to go and play for Liverpool. He was left out for a couple of games, phoned up his agent and said, I'm not playing. I want to go back to Spurs.
Yeah.
I want to play.
No. Exactly. You want to play. And that's why it's hard. Like, there's a player, and we're going off the beaten track a bit, Ross Barkley. I actually had forgot about him, because I actually thought he had went to Villa. But he was on loan. He's at Chelsea. That guy's never going to kick a ball.
Yeah.
You know, why is he not doing a Serge Aurier and ripping up his contract and becoming a free agent?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, getting out to say even going to Brighton or a Watford, you know, because look, he had his chance to come to us. He picked Chelsea over us at the time. You know, he was at Everton when he was doing well. He was very injury prone, but you know, that guy now has to look at the bigger picture and go, you know, I maybe need to go down to a Watford or a Brighton or
Southampton,
Newcastle, Southampton, and be the main man and just play. I know if it was me, I'd just want to play football.
Yeah.
You know, you've got what, 10 years if you're lucky, you know, to, you know, make a career, make a name for yourself. So yeah. It's strange, but like, let's see yeah. what
or
happens.
Or you can go that. To Manchester City like Kane would have done. You know, you might play in all the big games, but you're not playing Wednesday, Saturday. You know, you're playing in one of those, and you're only playing 60 minutes because Jesus needs a game, and another player needs a game, and this player needs a game, and that player needs a game. Uh-huh. Or you stay at Spurs, you play all the games you want to. There you go. All right, Cole. So we've got Palace at the weekend.
Yeah.
How's that going? 1-0 loss?
Probably. No, I'm pretty confident. I think it could actually be another 1-0 to Spurs. But I think we'll go to Palace. They haven't started off that great. Obviously, they have a new manager in, a couple of new signings that they've brought in as well. It'll take them all a bit of time. I'm a wee bit disappointed with the first game, you know, the 12:30 on Saturday. Yeah. I don't like those games. I hate
ruin
those
your
games.
Weekend, can't it?
Yeah, it can just ruin your Saturday straight off the bat. But no, look, I'm pretty confident. I think he'll go with the same team.
Yeah.
And I think we'll get a result. A result there.
And how about Arsenal?
We haven't even, and I'm surprised you haven't mentioned, isn't it brilliant? It's absolutely brilliant. And some people have got the cheek to say, oh, they've played Man City and Chelsea. No. You know, come on.
They were lucky to play Man City and Chelsea to get those games out of the way. Because if they'd have played Southampton or an Aston Villa, they'd have turned them over as well. They're such a poor side. They're a terrible side. So this story, right? So Charlie Nicholas, very, very good.
Oh, yes.
So we saw him around. And right, okay, here we go. Arsenal legend, blah, blah, blah. He was terrific to chat to, right? I only chatted to him for about half an hour, but here's the story. So I said, having a little bit of a chat. He's really, really nice. He knew I was a Spurs fan. You know, we didn't wind up too much. You know, we're on holiday and everything. And we just got chats. He said, right, so is there any, sorry to ask the cliche question, but, you know, what player would you say is the best you've ever played with against whoever? So he says, oh, back in the early 80s, I played in a testimonial for a guy called Les Berry. It was Charlton versus Arsenal. And George Best turned up to play for Charlton. And I've looked at him and I said, you'll never guess what, Charlie? I was the mascot in that game.
Is that right?
True story.
Who were you the mascot for?
I was the mascot because I grew up in South East London. Right. So I was the mascot for Charlton.
I thought you were going to be for Arsenal there.
No. Mascot for Charlton mascot for Charlton against Arsenal. But it was brilliant. It was a real connection. So like, he was like, no, I can't believe it. And I've got a photo on my phone of me kicking, playing football with George Best. Did you ever play football with George Best, Cole?
No, unfortunately not. He went to my school, but he was a lot older than me.
I have. I've played football with George Best. Anyway, I'll put the photo on Twitter if you want to see it. But it was brilliant. And we had a right laugh and... he sort of said, after the game, and they went out and had a drink, and, you know, the rest is history. But, it was a real funny moment when he said that, and I was like, you'll never guess what, I was the mascot in that
very
game.
He's
like, he did a double take. And his podcast as well, by the way, Where's Jeff, is really entertaining.
Right, okay.
You know you can't stand Phil Thompson because he always done the Spurs games on Sky. Yeah. He's actually really good. So it's called Where's Jeff. It's got him, Letizia, and Charlie Nicholas, and they have a laugh for about 40 minutes.
Right.
Other than this, it's a bit of a moany rant.
Yeah, no. Look, we're just getting back into it. You know, we're winning Saturday, 12 points, top of the league. Arsenal sitting bottom still with no points, no goals.
Oh,
isn't it fantastic?
They've got Norwich, so please. Come on, Norwich. They don't like it. Hey, right, Norwich, listen. They don't like it up them, okay? They attack them because they're rubbish at the back. Aren't they? They're terrible at the back. They're all over the place.
I know. I've loved it.
Two people marking Aubameyang. Job done.
You don't need two people to mark him. There's people still debating that he's better than Harry Kane.
That pookie running home. Anyway, mate, we're only going to do half an hour. We've managed to do 45 minutes, but that's we could go on. But that's our beloved Spurs for you. Right, brilliant. On the next show, we'll hopefully have Doogie, and I think I've managed to get in his first interview. After he left his job, I got Donald Trump to be on the pod. So that should be quite interesting. Going to answer Spurs questions. He said no politics. He just wants to do Spurs questions. So that's quite good.
Very
isn't
good.
It?
What a coup. I miss Donald.
Oh, mind you, Biden's not doing any better. Let's not get into it. Let's not get into that. All right, mate.
That's why I miss him.
All good. And all the best. Chris is injured at the moment, I believe, but when's he back?
Yeah, hopefully. So disappointing again. I was over there 3 weeks ago and he scored a hat trick on the Saturday. So I flew over going for Saturday game. He had a game on the Tuesday, stay for that. And unfortunately, hurt his hamstring on the Tuesday night. Oh. So he's been out. We reckon he's going to be out for about 6 weeks, 6-7 weeks. So now that's 3 weeks nearly gone. And he had just been called into the Northern Ireland under 21 squad. He was meant to be away in Malta.
Is that the first time?
Second time he'd been called in. First time he was with the squad, didn't play. But this was his first, you know.
Presumably he's quite close to the first team squad, wouldn't he? Just because of it's Northern Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, if he hopefully when he's fit and he gets in the next squad. That's him one step off the first team, you know.
Yeah, and he gets a couple of goals. He gets a couple of goals for the under-21s. And surely the new Northern Ireland fans will go, wait a minute, what's this lad doing in the under-21s scoring a couple of goals? When who's the current striker for Northern Ireland?
Well, that's always been our big thing.
Healy still, is it?
No. It's Kyle Lafferty, would you believe? Right. And those Connor Washington and...
Yeah.
But there's two young lads just broke through called Shane Lavery. He was at Limfield, went to Blackpool this year, the Championship, scored over 80. He was at Everton as a kid.
Yeah. Well, look, the 19-year-old at Rangers, you know, he's on the verge, isn't he?
Yeah,
so,
he's close.
You know, just
he's
tell him to tell him to stay away from women. And
I've told him. I said, don't be like your dad, son.
All right, matey. Brilliant. Lovely chat.
Yeah, come on, you Spurs.
We'll see you next week. Cheers. Come on, you Spurs.